In terms of thy word, giveth light, giveth understanding the simple. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis chapter 2 this morning with me, please. Bereshith in Hebrew, first book of the Bible. First book of the Torah, as it's called. The books of Moses. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Genesis 2, 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Father, bless this book now. In thy name I pray. Amen. He called him Adam, and Adam is literally of the earth. See, the red earth. That's what the name means, Adam. And we notice carefully, if you'll notice, that he's created from the dust of the ground. And if you notice, his life came from the breath of God. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That is said of nothing else. Only man has the breath of God breathed into him. So therefore, the poet said, the breath of God became the soul of man. Amen. That's quite a thing. It's a beautiful thought. That makes man connected with God in a way that nothing else is. This is why the Bible says God created man in his own image. You can be certain of this. Satan was standing by, watching what was happening. So he's created from the dirt of the ground. He was created, as the Jewish tradition is strong in this, that Adam's body was made from Moriah, from Mount Moriah. That's where God made him, took his body from the dirt and made him at Moriah. The Hebrew word Moriah means where God sees and God will be seen. Moriah shows up all through the Bible. It's a very important place. But notice carefully this morning at this point, it's very important to understand that if this Jewish tradition is true, I have quite a thought for you. Adam came forth from the ground, his body was, at Moriah. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, my dear friend, he died at Moriah. And there he shed his precious blood. If you'll notice, it was at the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea that they laid his body. I've been to that place now about 6 times. And I can tell you firsthand that you can sit at the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and you can see Golgotha. It's within a stone's throw. It's very nearby. So what are you coming to? I'm coming to this. It's quite an intriguing thought. If the first Adam came forth from the ground there at Moriah, what a thought it would be that the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead and came forth at Moriah at the same spot where God made the first Adam. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that's so, but I'm saying that's an intriguing thought. It's something that you might want to trace down. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the second man. No man ever lived like that man, and no man was ever the essence of that man. He was one of a kind. Why? Because he's the God-man. So therefore, he's the second man. All from the first Adam. We are of the first Adam, born in this world. What Adam gave us, according to Romans 5, is death. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, became the last Adam. You see, Adam is the one who gives you your life. You come forth from Adam. And my dear friend, from the Lord Jesus Christ, we have our life today. He said this in the Gospel of John. He says, as the Father hath life in himself, even so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. The life that I have today, right now, enjoying, and the eternal life that I have is the life of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. So Moriah is very important. In 1900 B.C., there was a priest. His name was Melchizedek. And he came to Abraham when he had finished slaughtering the kings. His name is Melchizedek, and it means literally a king of righteousness. And he was the priest of the Most High God. He came from Jerusalem. He came from the city of peace. He came from Moriah. So it's obvious that Moriah was fixed in the mind of everybody, that it was there that God meets man and man meets God. at Moriah. Remember, there is no priesthood, there is no temple, there is none of this sacrifice, none of this exists. It was just God and man. And there had to be a place where he met man. Abraham took Isaac to the top of Moriah to sacrifice him unto the Lord. As God said, bring thine son, thine only son, unto me. And he was the promise, of the Father. And so all that Abraham would ever hope to be was in his son, Isaac. Yet God said, bring him here and offer him as a sacrifice to me at Moriah. We're learning something. A pattern is beginning to develop about Moriah. Moriah is important for this. God didn't send Abram there to see what he would do. No. God sent Abram there so Abram would know what he would do. That is what affixes our relationship with the Lord. You ever been there? You ever been where you offered up something to the Lord and when you did it, you found out you had something in you you didn't know was in there? You ever been to a place where you could reach down, take hold of faith you didn't know you had? Have you ever been to a place with God where you've walked alone in many ways and then the Almighty shows up and from that day on you're walking with Him? Because you're walking with one who was there for you. This is what Moriah is about. Abraham was a man of faith. He was the friend of God. And all of that, and that is so true. But when he left Moriah, Abraham knew something about himself that he did not know until he got to Moriah. David bought the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite at Moriah. This is about 1000 B.C. What's important about a threshing floor? This past Wednesday night I talked about one in the book of Ruth and Boaz. A threshing floor is a place of judgment. It's a place of separation. A threshing floor is where you separate the wheat from the chaff. The threshing floor is important, still used to this very day. In the east over there, they use it. As threshing floor is a very important thing. Because without it, you can't eat. It feeds you. It gives you the food you need. But the threshing floor is important for this fact, too. It was at Moriah, my dear friend, that a separation takes place. At Moriah, it was there that when Almighty God came down to man, man made a choice one way or the other. Either you choose life or you choose death. At Moriah, the Bible says that when Boaz was in the field winnowing at night, winnowing means that he was tossing this up into the air and the wind was carrying away the chaff, because the chaff is light. There's no substance to it. There's no root to it. It's just here today and it's gone tomorrow. And a lot of us have chaff in our lives. We have stuff in our lives that the Holy Ghost needs to kind of carry away. And that's what he did at Moriah. He carried it away. And my dear friend, when he leaves behind, he leaves the fruit behind. He leaves the seed behind. He leaves that which is good. You see, if you fall in the hands of the devil, he will grind you up. He will devour you. He'll sift you. And what sifting means is that he'll sift out all the good and leave nothing but bad. You can always tell when Satan's working on you, for he's destroying your faith. He's destroying your life. He's destroying your home. He's putting a wedge between you and God. That's the work of the devil. He's good at it. He's been at it a long time. But the work of the Holy Ghost is to separate that stuff out of your life and draw you close to God. We need the Holy Spirit today, my dear friend. We don't need to be grieving Him. We don't need to quench Him. We need to cry out to God and say, Lord, I've tried everything I can in the flesh. I've tried intellect. I've tried education. I've tried experience, and it's all failed me. I need help, and God will give you help. Amen. Help will come, sure as you live. So David bought that 1000 B.C. He bought the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. Did you know that David was the one who won this place back to the Lord? Do you realize that the Jebusites had the holy place? They had Moriah. But David went in there in battle and he took it back. He took it back to the one that it belonged to. He took it back to those that had faith in Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And my dear friend, it's still to this day. In 586 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first temple in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was a type of the Antichrist. And he was a man that walked in his pride. And oh, how he bragged about the power of Babylon. And God put him on his knees and put him out in the field and made him eat grass like an ox. Amen.
till he found out, he said, till the Bible said in Daniel, till he knew who the Most High God was, who puts one king up and takes another king down. Nothing happens outside the will of this eternal being that we serve today, man. God didn't make it and turn it loose to watch it, see what would happen to it. No, my dear friend. No, no, no. And so we find of Nebuchadnezzar. He destroyed the temple 586 BC, carried the children of Israel off into captivity. That's where Daniel shows up. Then there was Zerubbabel who rebuilt the temple, and it became the second temple. And to this day, the Jews call the temple the second temple. And to this day, if you're a Jew, you know exactly what I'm talking about. In Antioch 168 BC, Antiochus Epiphanes, his name means God manifests. He changed the temple to the worship of Zeus. He killed a swine upon the altar and declared himself to be Almighty God. And he kicked off the Maccabean revolt because of what he did. And you can read it in the book of 1 and 2 Maccabees about what happened. That's history I'm giving you. And it's the kind of history we need to know. The road for Israel has not been easy. They fought for every piece of land they've had all the way up to this day. And the Jews all over the world are making what's called Aliyah. Aliyah means that they're coming back to their land. Eretz Israel. Eretz means the land of Israel. They stand at the wailing wall right now. And they cry out to God, come, Lord, come. Come and deliver us from the hand of these Gentile powers. They want to build their temple again. It's very important. Antiochus Epiphanes, God manifest. Seemed like I read in the Bible in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 that the Antichrist will enter into the temple of God, sit down in the Holy of Holies, and declare himself to be God. See a pattern developing? See it developing? You have types in the Bible. Antiochus Epiphanes is a type of the Antichrist. 2,000 years ago, our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified at Moriah. A separation took place because that is a threshing floor. He said to them before he was crucified, he said, take this wine. This is my blood of the New Testament. Broke the bread and said, this is my body of the New Testament, which is shed for you. It's important to understand that the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be remembered. Remembered. Don't ever forget it. This is appropriate for Memorial Day. We remember the slain that have died for the freedoms we have in this country. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us 2,000 years ago at Moriah. It becomes a place of memory. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross 2,000 years ago and gave himself for us. He died for a sorry piece of garbage like me. Amen. And he died for you. He died for all mankind. He didn't die for good people. He didn't die for religious people. He didn't die for church people. He died for sinners. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I would some of these great religious leaders would get a hold of the fact that they sin too. He died. 70 A.D., the temple was destroyed exactly as the Lord Jesus Christ said it would be in 70 A.D. And they pried the stones apart, they say, tradition says, because they were looking for gold and silver that was supposed to be buried in the wall. 132 to 160, 136 A.D., we have what's called the Revolt of Bar Kokhba, the shining star of the east. Bar Kokhba. And they followed him in rebellion against Rome. Rome has always been a problem for Israel. Rome will ever be a problem for Israel. My dear friend, Rome is still a problem for Israel. If you'll notice and my dear friend be able to identify who Rome is today, you'll understand what we're talking about. They're hard at work to create another Roman Empire, a world empire, a one world global empire. And it's called the Great Reset. And they're working night and day to bring it about. They're changing us. They're changing your nation. And I'll tell you the truth this morning, if I could get into some of this stuff with you, some of you would be offended with what they're doing right now to this nation. They're offended. They're changing this country. They're changing our nation. And they want to destroy it. They want to turn it into a global civilization. They want to take your identity away from you. They don't teach you history anymore. A child goes through school, gets a 12-year of education. They don't have a clue where they came from. They don't know what America was built upon. They know nothing about that.
And now they've created a new moniker to hang upon you if you believe, if you're someone who's a Christian. And here it is. This has just come out recently. Recently, this is the new moniker. Here's the way they do it. They create a moniker and then they demonize it. And then once they demonize it, whoever they hang it on has been demonized. And I'm noticing it all the time. And here's what it is. A white Christian nationalist. How many have heard that? If you haven't heard it, just stay tuned. You'll hear it. A white Christian nationalist. Now this is nothing against my black brethren. And red or yellow or whatever, it has nothing to do with that whatsoever. This has to do with an evil force in this country that's trying to demonize you if you're a Christian. But they start out with it in a place where they can demonize you if they want to say that you want to turn America back to what it used to be, a Christian nation. And they come along and they say, well, America was a Christian nation, but it was built by white people. So they play the race card at the very beginning of what they say. These people, every time they open their mouth, it's race, 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 to try to destroy everything that's good. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for white people. He died for black people. He died for red people. He died for yellow people. He died for all people. But this bunch in here today are dividers. They want to separate. Why do they do that? They want to separate because so they can rebuild, reset, so they can create a one world government. And that's what they're doing. And so, my dear friend, in 136 A.D., we have the rebellion of Bar Kokhba. And here's what they did. He changed the name of Jerusalem to Alia Capitolina. And he changed the temple to sacrifice to Jupiter. And he changed the name of Israel to Palestine. And some of you probably don't know what I'm telling you. And why did they call it Palestine? Because of their ancient enemy, the Philistines. Check me out. So that's not really the name of the country. No. This is the name that Rome hung on it when they called it Palestine. What's the name of the country, preacher? The Pleasant Land, the Holy Land, Israel, the Land of God. That's the name of it. That's the name of it. Are you beginning to see how things work now? Let me tell you how to control people, keep them ignorant. You've got a whole generation of kids growing up today that don't know a thing, and therefore you can control them. You can create their champions, their icons. Have you noticed how much you hear that word anymore? Icon, icon, icon. I want you to understand something. Have you ever watched any of these old movies, these old newsreels, where they hit the beach at Normandy and you see there's two or three of them and one of them just falls dead in his tracks? Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if you could interview those men that died or that hit that beach, interview them and ask them what kind of a country they want America to be. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice? Ask them what kind of country they were dying for, right? Amen. We enjoy prosperity. We've got it made. I mean, we got all of this, and we got it because of somebody else's sacrifice and death. You were born into an affluent country. You were born into a country where you had possibilities and all the things handed to you. Why are they coming into this nation? They come into this nation because they can have a better life. That's why I don't have anything against somebody that tries to come across that border and have a better life. But you have to have a nation. So there has to be an issue going on with it. That's right. That's right. Don't take it for granted. Well, why has America been blessed so great, preacher? Why do we have this kind of nation? Because of Almighty God. That's why. The only hope for this country is revival, to come back to God, get right with God, and start preaching the truth again. Amen. Amen. We got so much this garbage today, they don't preach the Bible. I'm going to tell you why they don't preach the Bible, because they're not preachers. They're not called to preach. That's why they don't preach. That's why they don't preach. I look around and I do a lot of research. You ought to be glad you weren't born in Bangladesh. You ought to be glad you weren't born in Mumbai, India. You ought to be glad there's some places you were not born. Because some of these places, they are worse than your wildest imagination. You're born into a country that God has blessed. God has blessed. God has blessed. Let me ask you a simple question this morning. Are you a swine with a pearl in your snout and you don't even know it? The Lord Jesus talks about swine, like a pearl in the snout of a swine. The only thing that swine wants is slop. The pearl is great value. The pearl too, folks. A pearl is not something formed like a diamond. A pearl is something that is formed by sweat, by hurt, by pain, over time. This is why the Bible said this New Jerusalem, its gates are a pearl. Why? Because the New Jerusalem is a city that is built by the testimony of the saints of God. That's all it's about. It's all about that. And so, I want to come to this with you now. There's going to be another temple built. And it's going to be the third temple. There are people right now in Israel. All you got to do, just a little research. You'll find they got everything they need. Everything they need for the priesthood and for the temple and the building. All of it. It's all ready. It's waiting to build that temple. Why is that important, preacher? Because it's going to be that temple that the Antichrist goes into and declares himself to be God. But that's not the temple the Lord Jesus Christ will go into. No. Read the book of Zechariah. And it says plainly that he will build the temple of the Lord. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. That means that the temple in Jerusalem, when it's built, will be destroyed. And the Son of God will build his own temple that he'll sit in for 1,000 years and reign on this earth. So here's something to look for. Look for this. Have you noticed all of the problems on top of Moriah right now, the Temple Mount? Did you know, folks, that if a Jew goes up on top of that Temple Mount, he's taking his life in his own hands? You understand that? You understand that? Most Americans don't have a clue what I'm talking about because they've never been there. They think everything's hunky-dory and everybody loves everybody and sit down and sing Kumbaya. All you got to do is just think good thoughts. You heard that guy? Just think good thoughts and everything's going to be okay. Think good thoughts. My dear friend, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I do not trust this world for one second. My trust and my faith is in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And that's where you better put your trust. You better put it there. You better put it in the hand. They were singing about it here this morning. The faithfulness of God, the eternity of God, the unchangeable one. He said, I change not, therefore you sons of Israel are not destroyed. I change not. It's called immutability. There is no change to him. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, that he would come. Oh, that he would come. I'm watching for them to lay the temple. In order to do it, they've got the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque sitting right where the temple sat 2,000 years ago. Right on the spot. Now, I know there's a lot of controversy. Some say the temple's moved on down. That's where it belongs, close to the city of David and all that. I don't know that I buy into that at all. I believe the spot right there where the wall was, the Wailing Wall, where it is, I believe that's where the Temple of Solomon stood. And they're going to build it. And if you see something happening in Jerusalem that you know is going to have an effect on their ability to build on top of that Temple Mount, get ready. Shout! Because you're going to watch Scripture fulfilled in your very eyes. May 14, 1948, David Ben-Gurion stood up and declared Israel to be a sovereign nation. Sovereign land. That's one of the most remarkable things. It had been 2,000 years they were driven from their land. Do you know what they're hoping for right now? Maybe tomorrow. You know what the national anthem for Israel is? Hatikvah. That's what it's called. Hatikvah. What does that mean? That means the desire, the hope, That's what their song, they sing about the hope. Next year in Jerusalem. Let me tell you something, now shut up. You cannot divorce what happens to the Jew and Jerusalem from the church or anybody else. The Lord said this. He said, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. And that's what it's become. Father, bless your word. Thank you for the time we have together. I pray some of the things I said this morning take root, take hold. People will be able to look past their experience in life and realize there's a whole lot more going on than what we even know about. In Jesus' name. Anybody head bowed? Anybody in here raise your hand this morning and say, Preacher Lawson, I know what you say is true. I know that they're dumbing us down. I know that. And I know they're trying to separate us. I know that race is all they talk about. Race, 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 race. They keep it before us constantly. When white folks love black folks, brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that's the way it ought to be. This crowd profits from race. It's all about race. But you notice now, trends are developing. The Antichrist is going to go on top of that Temple Mount, and he's going to sit down in their man-made temple. And that's going to happen soon, I think. And we need to be watching for it. Are you ready? Raise your hand this morning and say, Preacher, pray for me, because I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Anybody? I'll pray for you. Nobody's going to drag you to the altar. We don't do that here. Anybody? Pray for me, preacher. I'm not ready. God bless you back there. Anybody else? That should be a joyous thing. It should be a wonderful God bless you back in the back over there. God bless you. Anybody else? Raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. Well, I'm not ready. This kind of scares me to think the Lord could come back. Well, folks, he can. We don't have to be here when they start building the temple. We'd be gone in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Don't have to be here for that. Anybody else, raise your hand. Say, pray for me, preacher. All right, Father, bless your word now. It will not return unto you void. It will accomplish that which you please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto you sent it. In thy name I pray. Amen. All right, let's stand up this morning.